It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Brought to you this afternoon by David Britt at David Britt Volunteer State Insurance Brokers. Check them out online, volunteerstateinsurance.com. Sad news as we begin the Top 4 at 4 this afternoon. Former Auburn football coach and athletics director Pat Dye, who was hospitalized last month for kidney-related issues, has passed away at the age of 80.
Damn.
Had tested positive for the coronavirus but was asymptomatic. Was the head coach. Auburn guiding the Tigers to a 99-39-4 record in 12 seasons from 1981 to 1992. Winning at least a share of SEC championships in 83, 87, 88, and 89.
It's pretty stout.
SEC title every 3 years. His Auburn teams won at least 10 games in a season 4 times and bowl game 6 times. And of course, he coached Bo Jackson. Tracy Walker is also there. Trey, you're from down there. What Pat Dye means a lot to those people in L.A., Lower Alabama.
Yeah, he does, man. And just a bad loss. So he did so much for the community and so much for the state as well. And you know, a bunch of Auburn fans. The interesting thing about it is in February, Auburn University had agreed to put a statue of him somewhere outside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Mm. So that'll be nice to see whenever it gets put up. But a big loss for the SEC, and you've seen that today with all the different coaches and from teams all around the country talking about it. So, yeah, Pat Dye passed away.
You start to lose some of these guys. You know, Pat Dye, he's from that same era with Johnny Majors and Vince Dooley. We're just, you know, at that post-Bear Bryant SEC era that I grew up in, that was just so
– oh, yeah.
Such a cool era.
He was public enemy number one from a fan point of view. I mean, it's because he was a good coach. They had great teams. Yeah, Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. And they came up here and we whipped him in 85. But he was like – Spurrier kind of replaced him in my hierarchy of, you know – evil coaches that I just despised.
Well, and you had the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, Georgia and Auburn, and you had, at that time, Auburn coached by a Georgia grad, Pat Dye, and Georgia coached by an Auburn grad and Vince Dooley. I believe that's right. I heard that. Is that right, Trey? I heard that somewhere. Give out false, fake news
I'm
this afternoon.
Pretty sure you're right, actually. I was trying to think about it. On the fly. No, I think you're right, actually.
And
yeah.
You know what? I think that the league is better when you've got guys like Jeremy Pruitt, guys like Kirby Smart. I'll throw him in there. Will Muschamp. Southern, you know, guys that are just SEC guys. And obviously Nick Saban is a great coach, but the league is always better when you have characters, and I think we kind of got away from that a little bit the last 15 years or so, and I think it's cool to see that flavor, the Ogerons, the Jimbo Fishers coming back, just good old boys coaching.
Well, I mean that
these teams,
yeah. In you know the circus that is the Lane Train, and, yeah. And while we're at it, let's throw in the Pirate.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's good stuff. Number two. Philadelphia Eagles receiver DeSean Jackson said, quote, "It's going to be a culture shock if NFL teams have to play to empty stadiums this season due to the coronavirus pandemic. But if that's the case, he believes players should be mic'd up to give fans a behind-the-scenes look that they don't normally get."
They're going to have to put them on at least, what, a 30-second delay? At least.
Hell with that, man. I say put it on.
What, Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I guess you can't do it because it's going to be, you know, CBS and Fox and network television.
How long has it been? I mean,
I
know you've been down.
But give me a primetime, you know, Thursday night, Monday night football. Give me a Monday night football option, and I guess ESPN owns that or so.
Thinking, Russ, that sounds like a great – let's have Sunday night football with the Browns and the Steelers or the Steelers and the Bengals.
We've been watching.
And let's hear what they have to say.
We've been watching The Last Dance and the Lance Armstrong documentaries where – you say whatever. You drop F-bombs if you want. MF, whatever. Like,
I don't, with there's reckless abandon. No, there's another level that goes down on a football field.
I
want to
hear it. Don't you?
Make it TVMA.
It would be, Come on, man. No.
What are you scared of? What are you scared of? You have a conversation with your kid. If you don't want your kid to say it.
I personally think it would be hilarious. They're never going to do that because of how bad it is.
I want to hear it.
I mean, they've started having to throw penalty flags for some of the – some words are outlawed.
I understand. You're going to have racist stuff, homophobic stuff, people talking about each other's mamas, their wives – everything. Like, it's
like, you think back if Kevin Garnett had been mic'd up when he was checking Carmelo that day.
By the way, did you see the Kevin O'Neill quote I posted today?
No.
The Athletic released
pretty funny
the thing that Rex Rode was talking about on the show last, where they did the draft, like a Tennessee basketball draft, player draft. And this quote from Kevin O'Neill, Mitch Light said, "My favorite coach quote of all time, O'Neill talking about how he could recruit at Tennessee even though it was a football school. Quote, Jeffrey Dahmer killed and ate 17 young men 5 blocks from the Marquette campus. We did pretty good there."
He what?
Kevin O'Neill was at Marquette before he came
He's completely unhinged.
He said, "Jeffrey Dahmer killed and ate 17 young men 5 blocks from the Marquette campus. We did pretty good there." Fulky, do you know who Jeffrey Dahmer is? Does that name mean anything to you?
It does, yeah.
Is that, like, did you just know that, or are you a weirdo and you like serial killer stuff and you read up all about him?
I think there was a documentary on Netflix.
And you watched this because that appealed to
you. Did you see?
I saw the advertisement. I didn't watch it.
Did you guys happen to see there was an interview with the guy that murdered him recently? And he basically told why he did it. Apparently Dahmer would be sitting in the chow hall in prison and would take his food with ketchup and like recreate like his murder scenes and like taunt people with him. And like, try and creep people out. And it just didn't sit well with this one inmate, so he beat him to death with a mop handle.
All right, number 3, the Major League Baseball Players Association delivered a return-to-play proposal to Major League Baseball yesterday that includes a 114-game season, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason, and the option for all players to opt out of a potential 2020 season due to coronavirus concerns. The proposal, which was the first from the union and came on the heels of an MLB plan that was loudly rejected by players, comes at a seminal moment as baseball tries to become the first major American professional sport to return. Although the players expect the league to reject it, they hope it will serve as a bridge to a potential deal this week. What do you guys think? Baseball going to get a deal done this week, Trey?
I want them to. I do, because I know there's so many baseball fans out there.
Sure.
I think this is like the first proposal, then I think they go back to work on a second one. I don't think it gets done this week.
It's got to be a compromise. So the owners won an 82-game season. The players won 114. Like, let's split the difference.
They're going to lose Big Josh.
Let's go, guys. Get back
out
there.
Just play 100 and get it over with.
Number 4, the death of George Floyd has led to protests around the country against police brutality. And one of the protests in the Los Angeles area, a vehicle owned by former Cleveland Cavs guard J.R. Smith was allegedly damaged. And according to footage shared by TMZ yesterday, Smith was then allegedly seen beating up a man near his truck. There's no alleged about it. I watched the video. He whooped that dude's ass.
The guy messed his truck up?
Yeah.
Oh, he beat his ass.
What kind of car was it?
There's no alleged. First of all, it's on video. And second of all, he released an Instagram post later, a video of him, where he said, and I quote, "I chased him down and whooped his ass." Direct end quote. It's
the
a direct
part
quote.
About it was the best part about it was somebody in his entourage saying, "Have some respect. Give him some privacy. Don't film this." Well, J.R. Smith is literally wailing into this guy on the ground. which was.
I mean, I think John Travolta.
Have done the same thing. Somebody would have messed with my car.
Vincent Vega said it best in Pulp Fiction. He said, "You don't bleep with another man's car."
No, you don't.
You don't.
I when did we get to the point where if something is on film, it's still alleged?
That's a good. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing that started this, there's nothing alleged about it. I've watched the video. That happened, obviously. And then this J.R. Smith thing, you know, the kid from Carter decided to try and burn down the state house.
You're going to have a hard time explaining that one away in front of a judge.
Yeah. With your neck tattoo that says something like weed life or I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hour number one of the podcast is entitled James Polk Kidney Stones. That's what I like about this show is we dive in. We don't dodge the tough topics. We spend the first 20 minutes or so talking about the protests this weekend. We had a hard-hitting second segment about Tennessee football and the Tim Jordan situation. But then one little 60-second sidebar about young James Polk having his urinary tract system operated on, and all of a sudden, that's the title of hour number one of the podcast.
Well, I'm back in here able to give guidance to our new intern.
Yeah.
Finally.
Folk, he's hitting his stride. He's finding his way.
He's been with me for an hour and 12 minutes now, and he's, you know, everything's running smoothly, finally.
Making a mockery of everything.
Well, no, I told him, what I tell you while Russ was out there, I said they look great. They're very professional what he'd been doing, but it just wasn't the drive.
Folks, David Britt and his team at Volunteer State Insurance Brokers are there for you if you are doing some insurance shopping, be it health insurance, be it life insurance, dental, vision. What do you need to know? What kind of questions do you ask? How do you shop around for the best price? That's David Britt's job, folks. Give him a call. He'll get you a quote. 865-224-3243. He shops the best deals across the great state of Tennessee and finds the plan that fits your needs and your family budget. Again, David's number is 865-224-3243. You can email him, davidbritt@volunteerstateinsurance.com. And don't forget, if you buy a policy from David this month, during the month of June, he'll pay your first month's premium. Unbelievable, folks. Give him a call. Find out the deal. He's got the 411. 865-224-3243 is number. Email him at davidbritt@volunteerstateinsurance.com.
Hey, Russ.
Yes.
Got some, you remember our interview with Tony V last week and he kind of, we enciphered that he had actually been on Twitter.
Wait, hold on. Let's back the bus up there. We what?
We enciphered.
Enciphered?
Yeah.
Fulkerson, look that up for me,
please. Is that a word?
Look it up, son.
Enciphered. How do you spell that, Trey?
Encipher.
Convert a message or piece of text into a coded form, encrypt.
We didn't. We deciphered.
Okay, maybe. So it is a word, but I don't know if it was used correctly. I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead. I don't know if it's a word. You've got me. So anyway, Tony Vitello,
he's finally gone public. I think he went from a burner to his
whoa.
Now.
Tony Vitello's on Twitter.
Yeah, it's at Tony Vitello 2.
Why'd he go with 2? He should have gone underscore. Know. Is this him?
Yeah, that's him.
Are you sure?
That's him.
We got to work with. He's only got 113 followers. We got to work with him, man. I don't know if this is really him. Maybe it is. We got to get him a better. We got to get him a better avatar. We got to get him a better handle. He doesn't even have a heading photo. He's new here.
I just texted him. We'll see what he says.
He's so cool. Like, he doesn't even care. He doesn't even know what it's all about. Maybe it's better off. I almost like him better not being on Twitter. A guy that young and hip, he's like, not on Twitter. That's the coolest thing in the world, right? It's like, yeah, I don't need it.
But he was on Twitter, though.
Huh.
We caught him.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to take some time to process it. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
What do you say, Damien?
What up, Philly?
I want to compliment Martin Daniel for honoring the Catholic Fighting Irish basketball team for a state championship today.
You want a what, who for the what?
Representative Mark Daniel from the Knoxville area.
Oh,
state
yeah.
Representative.
Okay.
They had a little ceremony down at Catholic today. It'll be on the news tonight. Rick Russo.
Yeah, there's a House resolution. House Resolution 268 to honor and congratulate the team.
Exactly.
Upon winning the 2022 SSAA Division II Class AA State Championship. Go Irish.
Yep. Appreciate you guys. It would have been a shame if that piece of vital information had slipped under our radar. Go ahead, Phil.
It'd be a lot better than some of this information I've been hearing.
No!
I beat the Chilton game, didn't I? Oh, gosh. Tim Jordan. If you ain't out recruited Tim Jordan in your third year, then you got a problem.
Well, I think that he is, like I said, a serviceable running back, but he's third on the depth chart right now, right? And I don't know. I mean, maybe if Eric Gray turns an ankle, God forbid, and Ty Chandler pulls a hammy, then, yeah, we'll be wishing we had Tim Jordan on the roster at some point this year.
I say he's freshman. Put him out there. They're not that bad of players.
You're going to have to.
Than those that come out of high school.
What do we got? Phil's and me, Trey. We've got Lyneth Whitehead coming in, the kid from Memphis. Omari Thomas's teammate, Jabari Small, I believe. Is that his name?
Yeah, we got a lot of speed.
And then we had
the kid from Maryville coming in.
Oh, yeah, T. Hodge. He's coming in, too. Okay.
He's no longer a Maryville kid.
No, we got a good offensive line. We need to start pounding some people now. I mean, because you know we're not going to beat anybody with Gitmo behind center throwing a bunch of passes.
That's more than anything in these – the first couple of games, I want to see. If we're assuming Cade Mays is eligible and we got Cade Mays and Trey Smith at guard – sixth-year senior, Brandon Kennedy at center, and then Wanye and Darnell at the tackle spots. If that's our offensive line and those guys are healthy, I want to see us mash, line up and mash them. But it's been so long since we've done that, Phil.
I know.
No, we need to be an industrial strength ass-whipping machine.
Just bullying
teams. Imposing our will on
wearing them down in the fourth quarter, guys tapping out. No Moss.
I want to see Eric Gray ripping. That's when you'll see Gray ripping 60, 70, 80-yard runs in the fourth quarter. Backbreakers.
Who's this Carl Malone's son who's he's a defensive tackle who's been offered by Tennessee in football and baseball? Y'all see that?
I've not seen that.
He's out of New Jersey. Mike Trey knows about it.
It's not the child he had with that 13-year-old in Louisiana, is it?
Well, I don't know. He may have plenty of childs around. How far I know. You know what I'm saying?
Trey, do you know anything about him?
I have no idea who we're talking about.
Carl Malone's kid.
I think he's a defensive tackle out of New Jersey that we're recruiting. I think Vitale offered him. It'd be kind of cool to have somebody, you know, but look like Cecil Felder.
A defensive tackle baseball player?
Yeah.
How big is he?
Cool.
He's like... How big is he? How big did you say he was, Phil? Like 6'4" and what?
He's 6'4", about 285.
He's got some Frank Thomas size, huh?
Yeah.
The big hurt.
Did you go to any of those games back in the day, Phil?
Yeah, I went over to Bill Meyer Stadium one time and saw Canseco against Cecil Felder, and they were just playing like softball. And I guess Canseco had 4 home runs and Felder had 3. And then they're in the major leagues next year.
Who'd Canseco play for?
The A's
team?
Oakland A's.
I was talking about when Frank Thomas came in here. Frank Thomas played at Auburn.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about like
– Yeah, I was talking – did you see any
back
of the –
90s.
Other? Yeah,
no,
Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good players come through here. Huh?
be nice to start winning in baseball. It's been, you know, been a while.
Phil, if we can keep this dude, we're going to. I firmly believe that. Vitello, I mean, he's got that swagger, but I do worry that if
somebody really cares about baseball will steal him.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
And I think Fulmer cares about baseball, but like if somebody came and offered made Vitello an offer that he couldn't refuse, I don't think that – I don't know. Maybe some booster would step in and do what they did for Barnes, but I wouldn't bank on it.
No, unless Todd Helton wants Tennessee to win in baseball. He's probably got enough money to do that.
I would if I had the money just to keep him coming on the show with us. He's
Exactly.
Yeah, he is. He's a hoot. There's no doubt about that.
We'll lose our best guest.
What's the best chance of happening? Vitello going to another program or Skull King going to another program?
That's a good one.
What do you think?
Vitello, yeah. Because I could see Pruitt staying here. If he gets successful, I could see him voluntarily staying here. I'm not saying it definitely would happen.
If he really got it up and rolling and he was getting everything he wanted and his wife and they really like, you know, they're here.
It's just like you said. I mean, there's so many more schools in baseball that are so much more committed to winning than we are. Like, I don't think there are very many schools that want it more in football than we do. I mean, we haven't come close lately, but I think with Fulmer there's no doubt that
we want it every bit as bad as Alabama.
All our resources are channeled in that direction.
Yeah, but in the end, we really don't want it as bad as Alabama.
Well, no, nobody does.
Just look at history.
Nobody does, Phil. I mean, it's...
I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, we've been our own worst enemies. Just look what we've done. We kept coaches too long, and then we, hire Bozo the Clowns to replace them. Alabama had Bozo the Clowns, and they still won a national championship in a decade between their two great coaches.
Yeah, I mean, during their downturn, they won an SEC championship in the late 90s, early 2000s.
They won two. They even what's his name down there at Alabama? What's his name? He coached a couple of years. They won the 99 SEC championship.
Oh.
At Bama?
Mike DuBose.
Mike DuBose.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
Last time I heard, he was coaching high school ball down there.
He was coaching high school.
I heard a lot of them Alabama coaches, oh, they kind of like the women down there, you know. Wimpson kind of liked them. DuBose kind of liked them.
Mark Gottfried, or was it Mike Gottfried? The guy
Gottfried kind of liked them.
Right, it's kind of a universal thing.
Who can forget? Who can forget Mike Price? It's rolling, baby. It's rolling.
It's rolling.
Well, one thing I do hate about this corona is strip clubs haven't been open. See you.
That's the real tragedy.
At the landing strip.
How about this? You talk about Polk County, Trey. Brian on Twitter just sent me this video. This is from Fox 13 Tampa Bay. And I guess this is like a press conference. They've got a sheriff up there with a couple of cops behind him. Here's the quote. And I guess they've had looting, civil unrest issues down there. The sheriff is saying, and here's the quote. The people in Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns.
Damn.
Firm but fair, Russ. I do draw a line there. You have no business going in anybody's house. You got no business burning down
people in the streets either.
Yeah.
Man. I mean.
You saw the kid that got drug behind the FedEx. Did you see that?
No.
That was in, I think, maybe St. Louis. They had swarmed a truck. He was trying to, part of the interstate was already blocked off by people. He got off, I guess, on surface streets. Truck got swarmed. They were taking packages out of the back, jumped up on the side of it, started beating on the windows. Well, he freaked and took off. And there was a guy standing in between. You know how they chain like the hook two trailers together to a double set.
Yeah.
The guy was standing in between the two trailers and got drug up underneath the back tires and then got drug for about looked like a quarter of a mile. I mean, he died. But I mean, It's insane.
What happened to the guy who drove the truck into the crowd of people in Minneapolis yesterday?
He's arrested. I read about that guy. He is under arrest. I would imagine he's somewhere getting some kind of psych eval.
But did they pull him out of there and beat him senseless?
No, I think the cops, law enforcement got to him before the crowd did. Did you see the kid?
I was thinking, I was thinking Reginald Denny. We're about to see Reginald Denny part two.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
Basically got his head.
Do I remember that? Yeah, I watched it.
Hell yeah.
It was awful.
He got beat up. I mean, his mugshot, you could tell he went to the hospital before he went and got his mugshot.
Did you guys see the kid who was getting detained? It must not have been for anything big, but you can see the ocean in the background, so it's at some beach. And they walk this young guy up to the back of the paddy wagon, and they're unhandcuffing him from behind. I guess they were just going to put him the handcuff him in the front when they're in the back of the paddy wagon. And they, snap the handcuffs off for a split second, and a police officer moved. And I could tell just from watching enough football, he just lost containment. And that kid did a speed break.
You heard the Benny Hill.
Yeah, he was gone to the point where I kind of wonder if he had some eligibility because we could use another fast wide receiver. And that kid was fast.
It was 4.4 speed for sure.
I felt like he could maybe crack 4.3. He was gone. They didn't even go after him. So that's how you know he's probably just doing something stupid. He wasn't doing anything big.
865-546-8200. Got to take a quick break. Back with more. The Drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell Barrett Trey back with you. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here, 546-8200. Some Tennessee recruiting news over the weekend. This is an awkward one on Saturday. Trey Curry, who is a wide receiver prospect from, I want to say Bradley Central, or somewhere in the Chattanooga area, tried to commit to Tennessee on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Just one problem. Tennessee wasn't ready to take his commitment.
Oh, no.
And he put the edit out with him in the Tennessee jersey, said committed and everything, and to walk it back.
Did not contact the coaches before putting that out there.
So we're getting – that tells me that we're one step closer to being back. We're giving offers out that aren't committable offers at
times. Well, and that's the deal here, Trey, is people say, was it a legit offer or a committable offer? As Bear just said, they offered him, and I guess they've been keeping up a dialogue and stuff like that. They've been recruiting him, but they weren't ready to take his commitment. And maybe if he had committed 3 months ago before this huge, commitment run started, maybe they would have taken it. But now, when they're at 24 commitments and they have to be very
judicious,
with who they take, they weren't ready, so that had to be an awkward conversation for whoever the Tennessee coach was who had to get him on the phone and be like, look, sorry, we can't take you, but that's the difference. That's when you hear people talk about, was it a committable offer, this is exactly what they're talking about. It wasn't like we hadn't offered him and he was just like, oh, I'm going to go to school here. He thought he had an offer, and he kind of did. But not really.
I blame that on the coaches at his high school for not giving him the advice, because they had to know that he was going to commit. Those coaches are in contact with the coaches at Tennessee. There was no communication. Tennessee coaches didn't know he was going to be putting that up there and committing. I can tell you that 3 weeks ago, and I told y'all this on the air, Tennessee had two players ready to commit on a Friday, and Tennessee was not taking their commit. And they're at 24 right now, which technically, to me, that means they're probably at in between 17 and 19, because you're going to have drop-off. But you're still at 24 right now. So, I mean, if you'd have taken his, you'd have been at technically 25. So, it's look, it's unfortunate. The kid's a beast. I mean, he really is. But as one person told me inside the Tennessee program, it was just very bad timing on his part. Very bad timing.
Unfortunate, but, I mean, probably the sign of a healthy program if you're Tennessee and you are in a position to, you know, guys are trying to come and you're have better to be turning guys away than begging. And hopefully it works out.
Turning down a 6'1", 210-pound receiver? Yeah. That's a good sign for Tennessee. I hate to be, you know.
I guess the other thing I worry about is, and what school do we know, what high school he went to? Let me look this up real quick.
He's from Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yeah, so he's Bradley Central.
Just outside of Chattanooga.
He, I hope that doesn't, you know, you don't want to piss anybody off in East Tennessee, in the home state in general, in any high school anywhere, but particularly in your home state, and particularly that close to Knoxville. So hopefully it's a misunderstanding that can be easily cleared up. The other recruiting story over the weekend, and this is not good news, Dietrich Pennington, 4-star offensive lineman from Cordova, and one of the top remaining targets on Tennessee's board, releases his top five, and Tennessee is not on it. Auburn, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia, and LSU. So we won't be getting him, and that surprised me because I've been following this class. I mean, he's a guy that Tennessee identified early, and I thought for sure – I thought if we didn't get him, we'd be runner-up or one of his final three. And to not even make the top five, it's got to be a little bit of a head-scratcher if you're Jeremy Pruitt and the boys. We'll see.
I agree with you. Tennessee's not going to get everybody. They're not going to get Grimes. They're not in the top five for Grimes. And Tennessee's going to be picky and choosy over the next 6 months, and they better – they better make it good on the field to keep up with all these recruits, but, you know.
Well, and we're losing Trey Smith and probably Cade Mays off this year's team. You have the one kid from North Carolina, Colby Smith, committed. They need offensive line commits, and I know they're close with this is a great name, another North Carolina kid, Diego Pounds is a guy they really like. They're trying to get him, and then
– that's a solid name.
That's a very good name. And then the kid from – speaking of names, the kid from Nashville, Pearl Cohn, changed his name from, I think it was William Griffin, and now he's William Parker, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember, but he's a big kid that Tennessee really likes. So you need to sign, I would say, at least three offensive linemen, so they need two, and they would have loved to have Pennington, but he has spurned Tennessee's advances, evidently.
And Tennessee didn't make a lot of headway with Dylan Fairchild either. Who committed
going to Georgia
over the weekend.
Yeah.
They need to work on the offensive line, and they've got spots to do it. And hey, man, it's always a good problem when you don't have a lot of spots left. So, you know, they'll work on narrowing that down.
865-546-8200. Jimmy on the Twitter machine talking about Pruitt's raise and extension. I don't know. When are they going to announce that, Trey? I mean, Coach Fulmer, I know he did
it.
He didn't want to talk about it with you on the show a month or two ago when you asked him. But I figured we would have heard something by now.
I don't know. I don't know.
They just wait till closer to the season because of all this, everything that's going on. They're just
that contract's already been worked out, but them announcing it right now would not be a good time.
That's a good point.
Not be good timing.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Be good timing.
People, what do you got? 30 million unemployed people in the country, whatever it is. Like you don't want to. People don't want to hear about football coach.
Coaches are taking 10% pay cuts all around the country.
Yeah. And if you're Pruitt, you have to understand that, right? You have to understand the tone angle. It sucks for him because he's probably earned, I don't know if he's earned a raise, but a year on, you know, roll over his contract, extend him by a year. He's doing a good job. I think we all agree on that. But you do like what we begun the show with today. I think Tennessee's statement yesterday, they've been masterful playing the PR game for a year or so now, really ever since Coach Fulmer came back. They've got that communication thing down, and they're winning the Twitter wars. They nailed this thing yesterday, I thought. And yeah, you don't want to turn around and say, oh yeah, by the way, I know everybody's out of work and people are wondering if they're going to get their jobs back, but here's $1 million raise for Coach Pruitt after your 8-5 season where you lost to Georgia State and BYU. Love you, Coach.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good look right now.
They also got some assistant coaches' contracts they got to get finalized and out there. So we'll see how it plays along. I know we got to take a break here in a minute, but Tony V has confirmed that is his temporary Twitter account.
He needs to put his picture on there, man.
Like, Bear,
can you imagine being that handsome? Like, no, not to make it.
Oh, I thought you were going to take a crack at me because I don't have my picture on mine. No. If I look like Vitolo.
You'd have your picture.
My phone number written underneath it. Bring on the ladies.
He's got a picture of a Bill Dance autographed Tennessee hat, which is very cool.
Come on. But we got to try getting back on there so we can get with him
about
this.
He's the coolest looking dude in town, and he's not putting his picture up there.
Single?
He said he did not have a burner, and he also said it took him 8 minutes to post that damn video this morning.
Single and ready to mingle. Come on, Coach.
Now you're making it weird, man. I mean, come on.
Put him on christiansmingles.com.
Is that still a thing people say?
Single and ready
to mingle?
Probably not.
To Fulkerson saying, no,
he's 19,
definitely not.
I've been out of the game longer than he's been alive.
The 20-year-old says no. We all sound super old right now.
All right.
Let's take a break. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. 865-546-8200. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. If you want to get up with us, you watched the astronaut launch on Saturday. Pretty cool stuff, huh?
No, actually, I didn't. Believe it or not, I didn't.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We didn't watch it live. I went back and showed the kids that the whole thing's on YouTube.
Yeah. I know Dobbs was down there.
Yeah.
Kind of made somewhat of a splash.
So you saw the SpaceX rocket that blew up on Friday. If you're
– One blew
you
up
didn't
on
see
Friday?
That? Oh, yeah, it blew up like on the launch pad. It just caught fire. Wah, wah, wah. Nobody on board. It was a
– Unmanned.
But. Yeah. But that had to be a little bit unsettling if you're those two astronauts. You're like, wait a minute. Whoa.
It'd have to up the pucker factor for sure.
Wait a minute. Are we going to ride this – This huge tower of fuel into the sky at 100,000 miles an hour, and you can't even send the other one up there? Wait a minute. Like,
what's wild? Those guys, what's wild?
A few more tests here, Elon.
You know, when they first strap them in, just normally, without that happening, their heart rate gets up like 140, most of those guys. You're sitting on top of a bomb.
When they just strap them in or when the thing starts?
No, when it, you know, leading up to launch. And then right as soon as it – I've seen enough on it. Like, once they get into the launch, it immediately starts dropping. But
I feel like it would – I don't know if it would go up, but I feel like it would be pretty steady high when you get up there. Launch. Oh, yeah. I feel like it would take a long time to calm down after a space launch.
Yeah, most of those guys have been test pilots and been in high-stress situations.
Yeah.
So – one of the old guys, his like Jaeger, allegedly Jaeger's heart rate it never changed. That's probably why he's able to get out of so many jams.
Yeah, good for him.
It was fascinating to watch, man. It was that was something else, man. It was I saw yesterday when they docked at the space station. It took them so long. You know, it takes them a while, I guess, to decompress and all that stuff. And
could you imagine being on the space station and new people coming up since the pandemic started? And like,
it's probably the best place to be.
That's what I'm right saying. Now. Until somebody shows up from down here, I wouldn't want anybody to be like, "Nah, you hold off."
I'm guessing they tested them rigorously, and like when you saw them strapping,
they quarantined them.
Yeah, when they're strapping the guys in, they're like everybody's wearing masks and stuff, and it's a very controlled atmosphere. But yeah, it's between the civil unrest and the worldwide pandemic currently raging, and I saw where Ebola has come back in Africa just because we're playing the hits now. It's probably being on the International Space Station, like.
They've got an Ebola outbreak?
Oh yeah, like the people that are supposed to come back, they're like, you know what? We'll just hang out up here for a little. Like, you guys get your stuff straight down there, we'll be okay up here.
We're good. No, we're not coming back. Nope. Sorry, we're gonna stay up here for a while. You guys ain't nothing.
Well, you can stay up there to the point where you can't come back.
Do you guys think we will have some sort of commercial space travel available for the general public in the next 50 years?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What about the next 25 years? In the next 10 years, you think?
Yeah, I think that there might be some people that are rich enough, yeah. It's going to be.
What do we call space, though? Like, isn't that Virgin Atlantic they're offering, like, to take you, like.
Those are suborbital rides.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't paying. You aren't paying top dollar for a suborbital ride.
How far up is that?
It's however, John Glenn was the first, and they just kind of, or Alan Shepard was the first.
Suborbital definition.
They were 126 miles above.
That's about the eye.
The Earth.
Yeah, it's just, they kind of lob you. It's kind of a lob thing. You didn't go around the planet once.
I don't know if I want to be lobbed.
They just lob you up into the atmosphere. So. I mean, Jaeger went to the edge of space in that XF-101 or whatever the hell it was called. That's the thing he rode in.
Well, that's that's basically what Alan Shepard did. They just shot him straight up. He got into space, and then he came straight down. He didn't orbit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they kind of lobbed him because the Earth kept moving underneath him. He ended up out in the middle of the ocean, but
he made it. You think they could watch college football in space?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
sure they do.
If you have some downtime, you probably. It's not like they're up
there. I read an article. A couple of them were Aggie fans, or A&M fans.
Yeah. I don't think they're up there like you know, their downtime is like our downtime, where we're sitting there on the couch, like Cheeto dust on our shirt at 10:30 at night, sitting there in our underwear.
Got the
red
zone package.
Yeah, it's.
Well, they've got to exercise. They have to run on treadmills every day.
It's true.
Keep their muscle tone. They still end up having to be putting those like wheelchair looking things when they get back down here.
You're on the International Space Station for a year. You're eating all the freeze dried food.
Could you imagine
like that.
Anybody What's... wanting to be locked up in the International Space Station with me for a year?
No.
I'd jump out.
I don't like being in this room with you for 3 hours. For a year? No. Somebody.
That everybody have to be dying. Quiet from 3 to 6 Eastern time every afternoon?
What's the first meal you covet when you return to Earth?
Sack full of crystals.
So you want to just come back to Earth and then spend the next couple of hours on the toilet?
I can eat crystals at any time. It causes me no gastrointestinal issues whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you claim. I don't know if
it's
I'm.
It's not a claim,
that,
but yeah, it's even my family.
What are you like, Trey? You don't eat the onions? Is that?
I asked them for light onions. Onions are what mess you up.
But that's what the crystal is.
Yeah, but they don't. It would be okay.
Do you
if
eat the mustard and pickle?
Real, yeah.
No.
So you're getting like a you're eating crystals, but just
with light onions because they use dehydrated onions and they're never fully hydrated. So what ends up happening is they finish rehydrating in your stomach, and that's what causes all the issues and problems.
I pick the onion. If there's an onion on there, I will pick it off, and I might not eat it either just because I hate onions that much.
Look, Chief, I had E. coli when I was a kid. I was unconscious for I don't know how long. And my first solid meal before I got out of the hospital was Crystal's without the onions on Cumberland Avenue.
I don't feel like that's a true Crystal. If that, you're just eating some meat-like paste substance on a small bun.
Well, send Fulkerson down to get me a sack full right now. I'll quaff him down. We've got another hour. I'll sit here. I won't move.
With the onions on it?
Yeah. I don't care. I love them. It's good eating, man. Six cheese crystals, a chili cheese pup, apple turnover, and a Brody Coke.
Trey, what's your first meal coming back from space?
Well, probably a surf and turf, shrimp and steak, maybe.
This old Trey Rockefeller over here.
No, I would miss a steak. I would miss a good steak dinner, too.
That steak would mess you up.
Toothpaste for a year. By the way, how long did they – I never got an answer to this. How long are they actually up there?
It depends. Some of them, I think about a year.
That guy, Mark Kelly, who's running for Congress in Arizona, was up there for a year, and that's a very long time. So
he also said that he's
– how long this crew's staying up there, though?
Oh, I don't know. But I know that Mark Kelly has I'll have to go back and read the interview and see exactly what the changes were, but like
– He shrunk.
He shrunk, but he's also – he's not nearly as strong as he was before he was up there for a year. Something else to do with his bones. I mean, there are effects on you that aren't altogether great.
If you're the NFL, do you go ahead and end the national anthem prior to games this year, knowing that it's probably going to be very controversial? And players will be kneeling. They'll be asked about it throughout the week. It'll become a divisive issue, perhaps culturally, and that is it just an issue you don't want to have to deal with on top of everything else?
I would imagine there's probably nobody at the NFL executive level, politically, in the political world, nobody. Yeah, I don't think they do it.
If you're having games without fans or with minimal amounts of fans in there, I think a lot of your
just come out and play.
Production in general, yeah, it's going to change. Like, I'm sure there'd be
stretch, warm up, kick it off, let's go. I mean, they're still doing it at NASCAR, though. But the guy, did you watch that yesterday, Trey?
Did I watch Bubba finish 10th yesterday? You damn straight I did.
Yeah, but they had Edwin McCain, who's gotten sneaky old, Russ.
Edwin McCain, I'll be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met that guy several times. He used
I
to
did,
come
too.
In. He was, when I was doing the music radio back in the day, I'm pretty sure he was the first in-studio interview
you ever
I did. Yeah. And he came in, and he was a super cool guy because he's a Charleston, South Carolina native, and so we were talking about that, and you know, a light interview, and then like you whip out the guitar, and he played that song. And it's just me and him in a room.
He's loud when he sings.
He's very loud and very intense, and yeah. I'm just like chilling. All of a sudden, he's singing "I'll Be" 10 feet away from me,
at maximum
like
volume.
Really just pouring it very passionately, and like it's just very intense. First of all, and second, it's awkward because he's singing like the number one wedding song in America
to you,
to me.
Yeah, he's loud. I've stood like, about 8 feet away from him.
He also did a song called Gramercy Park Hotel that was about Babe Ruth, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty good. Pretty good.
Who's he lead singer for? Was it
who?
Oh, no, he was just solo.
He was just solo.
What was that other band that sounded? Tonic. Remember them?
That's the band I always get confused with.
If you could only see.
Obviously.
Kind of trailed off there, Trey. I thought you were off to a good start. I always get them confused with who's the Drops of Jupiter band that we always
the crappy
Train.
Band.
Train.
Train, yeah.
Train, Tonic. I can never,
Train,
I don't know the
not
difference.
Not the crappy band.
I don't think anybody knows the difference. I think they're probably the same band.
I think comparing Tonic to Train's insulting to Tonic.
Is Tonic good?
Vertical Horizon?
Yeah, they were like a fungus. That needed
that
to
movie,
be.
Vertical Horizon, with
I remember
Whitaker.
Vertical Horizon.
Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive Coming up, we'll get your top five at five when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.